Good morning again, my friends. This is David Stahl from Beholding His Glory, and yes, you are listening to Pebbles of Truth on WJCB Radio. Okay, let us continue looking at the applications of our faith. As I said last week, we'll begin this week to look at entering His rest. Did you know rest is the place God desires to bring all of His children to? Not just forgiveness of sin and impartation of spiritual gifts, but rest, sweet rest, where nothing shall move us, no matter the situation or the circumstances that we find ourselves. But rest. Rest is God's intention for us. Rest is what God wants to see in all of our lives. But whether rest happens in our lives is not up to God. Oh, no, it's not, but it's up to us. Everything, even salvation we get from God, is up to us. Are we willing to meet the conditions God has laid out for us to meet? Everything God has for us comes with a condition. Let me say that again. Everything God has for us comes with a condition, and the rest of God is no difference. In Matthew 11:28-29, Jesus said these words, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will, notice, give you rest." Verse 29. "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your soul." Wow. Rest unto our soul. How valuable is rest to our soul in a crazy and busy life that we lead? What would real rest do for us? Wow, what would real rest do for us? Well, to find the rest into our soul, we must meet the three conditions. Number one, to come unto me, to come unto the Lord. Take His yoke upon us. And number three, learn of me. If we never meet these conditions, we shall never find the rest of God for our soul. But notice there is something even more powerful going on in these verses than God giving us rest. In verse 28, Jesus says, "He will give us rest." But in verse 29, Jesus says, "Ye shall find rest unto your soul." Well, which one is it? Is Jesus going to give us rest, or do we have to find the rest that God has for us? Well, the answer is yes and yes, even both at the same time. It is like Jesus saying, I have $10,000 in that big field out there that maybe we would call life, and out there it is, and I want to give it to you, but you have to work the field, and as you work the field of life, you will find the rest that I have for your soul. And the more we submit to God's conditions, the more we come unto Him, the more we take the yoke of the Lord upon us. And now the yoke of the Lord is not for doing or working, it's for learning. And the more we learn of Him, how meek and lowly in heart that He is, the sooner we shall find the rest that God has for us. You know, it is not God's responsibility, oh no, for us to find that rest. It is our responsibility. It is our responsibility to meet those conditions. You know, the children of Israel never came into the rest of God. No, they didn't. In Hebrews 11:3, Paul was talking of the children of Israel when he said, "For we have had believed, do enter into rest, as he said, as I have sworn in my wrath that they, the children of Israel, shall not enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundations of the world." In Hebrews 3:17, Paul shares, speaking of the children of Israel again, "But which whom was he grieved 40 years, was it not with them that they had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness?" After God delivered Israel out of Egypt through a series of great miracles, He brought them to the promised land, not the promised land, the promised land, the land that God promised them. But they refused to enter. So God took them through at least 8 wildernesses to prove them, to test them, but they never learned. From the first generation of over 3 million plus, only 2, Joshua and Caleb, made it in. And why? Because they discovered that there were giants in the land, and they concluded that they were not able to overcome them, but worse, they blamed God for bringing them to such a place, and at times they longed for the good old days. Well, those good old days was slavery, the good old days of Egypt. God inspired the epistle to the Hebrews, and I believe was written by Paul, and that God uses the example of Israel and for us today to warn his people. The Hebrews 3:7-12, there's a list of verses, so please stay with me. Hebrews 3:7-12, today if you will hear his voice and harden not your heart in the days of provocation, in the days of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, they proved me and saw my works 40 years, wherefore I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err, E-R-R. Now that's not error. Error is to make a mistake, but err is a willful choice to turn away from God. They in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Take heed, brethren, lest there be any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Hebrews 3:7-12. Also in Hebrews 4:11, Paul writes, let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. Hebrews 4:11. Of course, Paul is talking about the children of Israel and their 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. Okay, now ask yourself a question. Was God unaware of the giants in the promised land? No, of course not. Did God not realize that it was impossible for Israel to defeat such enemies? Yes. Yet, God told them to enter the land regardless of the obstacles and their lack of ability to defend themselves. And of course, we know that they refused. It is this example of unbelief against which God warns his people then in Paul's days, and guess what? Our days too. Today, God tells us to enter into the fullness of Christ, to the complete disregard of our sins and our failures and our weaknesses and our deficiencies. He tells us to enter in by faith in his Son, Jesus Christ. The message here is clear. The land, parentheses, is given, God has freely given his people all things in his Son. Let me say that again. God has freely given his people, that would be us, all things in his Son. He does not ask us to be good enough or even strong enough. In fact, God will do a work in us to show us our corruption and weakness if we allow him to. But then he will say, enter by faith. Enter into relationship with my Son and leave yourself behind. Now, this is not only a great promise, but attached to this promise, my friend, is a warning. If we will not take possession of what God has given us because we think we are unworthy, or we are in unbelief, which is the same unbelief exhibited by the children of Israel, and then we will pay the same price that they did for their disobedience. I promise you, God will see to it. Likewise, if we rush to take possession because we think we are worthy, we are in unbelief, and we will fall. There is only one basis for entering into the fullness of Christ, faith in him and in what he did on the cross. We must put our faith in the one who is other than ourselves. We must step aside. We must step around ourselves, putting aside all of our sins and all of our supposed goods, and enter into Christ solely by faith in him who is our hope of glory. This is the truth. But as we have seen, we cannot put our faith in Christ until God begins to reveal to us the truth about ourselves. True faith must be based on seeing the truth. Yes, about ourselves, but also about Christ. Amen. Let me say that again. True faith must be based on seeing the truth. Yes, about ourselves, but also about Him. This has been David Stahl from Beholding His Glory. Trusting and hoping this word is changing, helping to change your life, and you're pushing more into the Lord, and the Holy Spirit is able to open up your heart and your mind, and so that you can be conformed into the character and the image of God's dear Son, Jesus Christ. Talk to you next week. God bless. Bye.